Good morning, everyone here, everyone online. Shall we start with a word of prayer? Father, we thank you so much for this time. Lord, as we had sung just now, you are on the throne. In spite of all the uncertainties, in spite of all the travails, you remain on the throne. Lord, it is our privilege to serve a consistent, constant God, Father, who remains on the throne. We thank you for your presence today. Lord, I pray that every word that is uttered from my being will be peppered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There would not be any of my own thoughts, but everything is from you to the people whom you love so much. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we all pray and we ask, Amen. You know, over the past 1 month, I've noticed something very strange amongst my patients. The number of patients having chest pain in the age group of 18 to 24 increased dramatically. Actually, 16 to 24, you know. I've worked for 20 years as a medical doctor, and I've never seen this kind of demographics. 18 or 16-year-old onwards coming with chest pain. And now, you know, with all the stories of, you know, post-vaccination, myocarditis, this also, okay, we do an ECG. Straight away, we do an ECG. Everything is clear. And then when I sit and I talk to them and ask them, why are you having this chest pain? They say, I don't know, we're just having chest pain. Then when I sit and peel the layers, you see, everyone is studying things online now. Now, when you are in a classroom and you don't know something, it may be a difficult mathematics equation. You realize everyone in the class doesn't know how to do it. But when you stay alone, you think you are the dumbest person in the class who does not understand what's happening. And that keeps enormous amount of stress and fear. The Institute of Neuroscience and Psychology in Glasgow says that human beings have got basically four different emotions. Happiness, sadness, fear, anger. Four different emotions. But today, I would like to really stress on this emotion called fear. Because I think that this is the most prevalent emotion today. Fear. The fear of uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And those who know what's going to happen tomorrow are also fearful about tomorrow. So either way, everyone is fearful. Is there, what about you all? Do you all have fears? No, this is a superb crowd, man. If you don't have fear, you must be having the spirit of lie. You see, newborns, you're talking about 0 to 24 months or 0 to 12 months, newborns who have got very extensive development of neurological system, yet primitive, they have got fear, you know. Newborns have got fear. Two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noise. Newborns. So much so, if you take a newborn, all right, and you drop a bit, you'll find them stretch out their hand like that. Have you noticed it? You take a newborn, you drop a bit, they'll stretch their hand like that. It's actually a test that we do to check their reflexes, but actually it's fear in them. You drop them, they stretch their hand like that.
sound. Immediately they wake up startled. Now these are newborns with primitive neurological system, yet they already possess this element of fear. Children, you think children have no fear? Children fear the dark. Children fear being alone. Teenagers, the invincible, know-it-all teenagers. You think they have no fear? They fear not fitting in. They fear peer pressure. They fear the failure of their studies. They fear now, you know, so many students who are supposed to go to universities now can't go to universities. And two reasons. One, the financial situation of the parents have changed. And I see it, you know. People who earn 100,000 ringgit a month and who could afford to buy two condominiums at one go, for the first time in their working lives, they fear finances. Never in their lives. 10 years working. First year, yes, a bit of struggle, but from the second year, their finances have been consistent. Now suddenly, they are fearful about the finances. Elderly people or adults, you think adults have got no fear? Adults are fearful about their jobs, fearful about the political situation. You know, I grew up in the early 70s. You know, there was nothing called political instability. There was one prime minister, he ruled for 20 over years. That's it. One government ruled. That's it. No problem. No fear. Every 5 years, it's the same people. Today, you're not certain. There's so much of political instability. What about elderly people? Elderly people have got so much of fear. I mean, you know, I'm in an age where Rachel and I sometimes, oh, it's so nice to just, we're just looking forward towards retirement, you know, or less work. And then you talk to retired people, what their fears are, whether they'll have enough money. Whether if married couple, one falls sick and one is left alone, can that person look after himself or herself? Fear. Fear. And fear. You know, there's one person in the Bible called David, King David. A very courageous man. And I would say that he was unnaturally courageous, you know. The Word of God tells us that he would actually go after a lion that was stealing his sheep, you know. I mean, who goes after a lion? If you go to Singapore Zoo and you see the lion and you are protected by the bars and the lion is far away there. And if the lion charges coming, even with that bars, we move backwards. But here, the Word of God says that David would run after the lion, grab the sheep off from the mouth of the lion and slay the lion. That is the kind of unnatural fear that this person, David, had. And yet, in Psalm 56, verse 3, Psalm 56, verse 3, King David says, "When I am afraid." This brave man, you know, I mean, if you can slay a lion, what else are you fearful of? Yet this man says, not if I am afraid. No, when it is going to happen. It will happen. You and I will go through phases in our lives when we will be gripped by fear. It is inevitable. If a man can slay a lion and he says, when I fear, we all can go through, will go through this emotion called fear. But is fear wrong? Is this emotion called fear actually wrong? Because the Word of God says, not the Word of God, science says, fear is a natural, powerful, primitive human emotion. That's what fear is. There is a biochemical and an emotional effect of fear. That's natural. Right now, I'm standing in front of all of you. Right? All of you. I see all of you. Some are looking at me very seriously. No calming effect. What I see is transmitted from my eyes through the optic nerve, impulses to the optic chiasm. From there, it goes to that part of my brain, to the optic tract, to the thalamus. From the thalamus, impulses are being transmitted to the amygdala. From the amygdala, impulses are being transmitted through to the thalamus. Now, the thalamus is releasing stress hormones. Because you guys are giving me stress. And these stress hormones are making... Can I have the next slide, please? These stress hormones are making me breathe a bit deeply. You know why? I need oxygen. Oxygen and glucose is the fuel for the body. I need oxygen. All right? So my lungs is getting saturated by oxygen. Now this oxygen must be transmitted, must be transported by blood to the other organs in my body. Okay? Now, so in order to transmit or in order to transport this oxygen, the heart, which is the pumping organ, has to beat faster. So my heart rate now is a bit high. And not only faster, it must beat with more forceful contraction. My blood pressure is a little highish as well. And simultaneously, what's happening is these hormones are stimulating the liver to release more glucose because glucose is a fuel for my body. Now, all this is happening because I have a little bit of fear within me. But this fear is creating an environment that gives me the strength, by the grace of God, to handle all your stressful looks. So is fear bad? It is as though there is an innate artificial intelligence system in my body right now. And that happens to all of us. You see, let's assume we are all not Davids, okay? I mean, if we see a lion, what do? The natural thing, we run away from the lion, okay? Unnatural thing is David running towards the lion. Natural thing is we're running away from the lion. And what makes us run away from the lion? All the process that I spoke just now. There is this innate, inherent system which you and I cannot control. We cannot control our heart rate. We cannot control our blood pressure. We cannot control the release of glucose in our body. It's happening in our body. So is fear a wrong emotion? I mean, this is the creation of God. All this is happening to protect ourselves. This biochemical reaction. When I was in standard 2, my mom told me, if you don't get in the top 3 in your class, I will tie you onto the mango tree and leave you there for a day. Now, of course, nowadays you can't say that to the children, no? You will get sued for parental abuse, parental psychological abuse. Okay, we grew up in the early 70s. There's nothing called psychological abuse, and mothers were capable of doing that. Honestly, I had no problem being tied to the mango tree. We were all very thick-skinned. We had no problem. And if you thought it's bad, then I shared this with my neighbor, and my neighbor told me his mother told him that he would be tied to the rambutan tree. Really? I had no problem, but I had one problem, you know. The mango tree in our house had red ants. And nowadays people really, children don't know what is red ants anymore. But this red ants, they will come and they've got this proboscis in the front. No? They will come and they will stick on to your skin, you know. You want to move it like that, it won't go, you stick on to that. Can you imagine 100 crawling? That I was fearful about, the red ants. And I sat and studied and studied and studied, and I got the top three. Fear is good. Fear is an automatic response that is crucial to our survival, and God understands this. Now, that is what we know about fear. It is good. It has got its good points about fear. But do you know when fear becomes a problem? Fear becomes a problem. This emotion of fear becomes a problem when it is not anymore a discerning tool in your life, but a dictating tool of your life. Fear is supposed to inform you there is a lion there. But fear should not control your life. I'll give you an example. When I go to work, there is this one clinic which is actually, which is about 35 kilometers away from my home. And there is one turning towards this clinic, okay, which is a bend, not sharp bend, a bend going downhill. Now, there is no double line there, so you can overtake. Yet, around this area, so many times accidents have taken place. Even to me, no accidents, but nearly. Because it is no double line, single line, everyone rips on the road, not much of heavy traffic. So everyone cuts into your lane. Even if you are driving slowly, somebody is on your lane. And so many times along this stretch, people will cut into your lane and they will flash the light. No, I mean, where are you supposed to move to, man? So many accidents have happened there. By the time I reach clinic, I'll see one patient lying on the stretcher there, and I'll ask, where did this accident happen? That area. So you know what happens? When I go through that area, I get a bit fearful. But you know what that fear does to me? It keeps me more alert. Even though it is no double line, single line, you can overtake, I won't overtake. Because I've seen and heard of so many accidents along that stretch. That fear keeps me awake, really alert. That fear does not make me answer phone calls that come, even through the loudspeaker of the car. I won't answer phone calls along that stretch. That fear keeps me sharp on my toes. So fear is meant as a discerning tool. Fear is meant to report to you, to inform you, and not to control your life. But this is the problem with humanity. See, every emotion that we have has to be subjected to the greatest emotion of all, and that is the emotion of love that God has for us. Now, every emotion that we have, it is always a struggle. There is the old self, and there is the new self. There is the old self where Satan still has a stronghold and can manipulate that emotion to make you lead a defeated life. And there is always this struggle to where you want to surrender your emotion. You can surrender it to the world. You can surrender it to the statistics of the world, or you can surrender it to the Word of God. That is what makes the difference with the emotion of fear. Fear that dictates your life, that is no more a God-given emotion. Fear that guides your life is not a God-given emotion. When fear keeps you from fulfilling the destiny that God has for your life, then it is no more an emotion from God. Then, as written in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. When fear controls your life, when fear makes you wake up at 2 a.m. in the morning sweating, when fear makes you sleep early but wake up so early, when fear makes you sleep so late and wake up so early, this is not the fear that brings glory to God. This is a fear, a spirit of fear that is robbing us from the joy of having a relationship with God. This is the fear that today you and I need to get rid of. The word says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God has given us, what? Power, love, and sound mind. Just look at that verse. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It is a past tense, you know. That means God has not given. Instead, He has given. In the Malaysian term, He has already given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of sound mind. You and I have it. We have it. We have that spirit of power. We have that spirit of love. We have that spirit of sound mind. Because you know what? A spirit of fear makes us timid, not powerful. A spirit of fear makes us think totally of ourselves, and we cannot love anyone when you've got so much of fear. A spirit of fear makes you so confused. It does not give you a sound mind. A spirit of fear is a platform for darkness to enter into our lives. It is serious. Get rid of the spirit of fear. That is why in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So if you have the spirit of fear, you have no power. But if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you have that residing Holy Spirit within you, instead of being powerless, which is a constituent of the spirit of fear, you have a spirit of power because of the Holy Spirit. Instead of not having the ability to love because of the spirit of fear, Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says that due to the sufficient justifying work of Christ, the love of God is shed in our hearts. We can love. With the Holy Spirit, we can love. The spirit of fear makes us not have a sound mind. We are so confused when we are fearful. We don't know what to do. But here it says that the fruit of the Spirit discipline all the constituents of a sound mind. In other words, this is what we possess, the Holy Spirit, that gives us that spirit of power, that gives us that spirit to have that ability to love, that gives us that spirit of a sound mind. This is the spirit within us. I'm going to end soon. So finally, how do we handle this fear? What do we do? What do you do when you've got... You see, this fear may be legitimate, you know. You are really fearful whether you're going to get that contract or not. It is a legitimate fear. So much hinges on that. Paying your loans, children's education, your future, and now there's going to be a change in government. The fear sounds or seems legitimate. So many people now are having all kinds of ailments never heard of. Everyone gets a slight cough. Everyone is fearful. And it is legitimate. I mean, you get a cough, you have to do something about it. 3 years ago, you get a cough, you just go take a Strepsil and you just swallow. You take a Panadol. I really don't know how that works, but people tell me they take Panadol and the cough goes. Everything just goes. But today, if you have a cough, you run to the pharmacy, get a saliva test, and you see this way, that way, is there a blur line or not? Are you sure there's a line? My eyesight is not so good. Are you sure? Then check again. It is. See, the times have changed. But let me tell you, the Spirit of the God of the Lord is the same Spirit that gave David that courage. The Spirit of the Lord in the Word of God still gives us power, still gives us sound mind, still gives us the ability to love. 2022 years ago and now, the Spirit of the Lord is the same. So how do we handle fear? Just one point, and we're going to end. Change your focus from fear to the love of God. Because John chapter 4 verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. That's it. Focus, change your focus from fear to the love of God. The opposite of fear is not courage. It is love. Because if you put perfect love, it casts out fear. So the opposite of fear is love. Now, what does that mean from this verse? Perfect love casts out fear. Now, I had two problems with this verse, you know. Two problems. What is perfect love? Look, when you love someone, you call it perfect. If I love that person and that person also loves me. Now, I know for a fact, I don't know about all of you, but I know for myself that the love that God has for me is perfect, proven by what He did on the cross. But the love that I have for God, is it perfect? Every day, the way I think, the way I talk, what I see, what I hear, is it all a manifestation of my love to Him? Because the Word of God says, perfect love will cast out fear. Now, this is a question I asked myself, you know. For me to be a true, victorious follower of Christ, to have that abundant life, should I remove fear and then have this perfect love? Or pursue this perfect love and then fear goes? If I were to focus on removing the fear, I will not be able to lead that victorious Christian life. Because again, I'm focusing on fear. But if I focus on the love of God, the fear will run away. You want to get rid of fear? Don't focus on the fear and try to get rid of it. Don't think with your mind, how can I handle this fear? How do I deal with this person? How do I talk to this person who's causing me so much of fear? How do I deal with this situation? How do I deal with my business propositions? How do I deal with these relationships? All these things are giving fear. No, don't focus on the fear. Focus on the love of God. And that perfect love will automatically get rid of the fear. But here's the problem. How to have this perfect love? I don't know about all of you, but then again, like we said, emotion, love is an emotion, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle between loving the world and loving the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind. That is the perfect love. I can't do that. There are many times when there are deceptively attractive things in the world that shifts my love from God to the stuff of the world. What do I do? Would I ever get that perfect love that is written by the apostle here? perfect love cast out fear. Will you and I ever get that perfect love? This is a conundrum. Because the antidote or the vaccine to fear is perfect love. But how do we get that perfect love? There is something called grace. And I read something that really touched me, and I'd like to share it with you. Fear is the platform for God's grace to intervene. Because you and I will never have that perfect love. Please don't try. But because of God's grace, I can go with my fear, with my imperfect love, to a perfect God with perfect love and come out victorious. Grace allows me to go before this God with my imperfect love. Fear is the perfect servant for imperfect saints to experience the perfect love of a perfect God by the grace of God. Can I have the praise and worship team, please? The only way we can overcome fear is if we start focusing in loving God every day. More every day. And it comes by the rudimentary aspect of Christian living, the Word of God. The greatest love book ever written by humanity, the Bible. Dwell in it and understand how much God loves you. You know, when our daughter Rema was going to be born, there were some complications, and it was not going to be a straightforward delivery. We had to think of a cesarean section. And prior to that, I was working in the anesthetic unit. And one of the drugs that we used to, see, there are three drugs that used to bring about anesthesia. One drug to induce you to anesthesia, one drug to control pain, and one drug to totally paralyze your breathing muscles so you don't breathe. The machine breathes for you. Three drugs. Now, this first drug that induces you to sleep, this drug, can cause what we call as a severe allergic reaction called anaphylactic reaction, where one in 100,000 people can just die. When I worked in anesthetics in Sarawak General Hospital, you've always got two medical officers, one in the operation theater, one in the ICU. So I was covering the ICU. For the whole hospital, one doctor looking after ICU and all the sick patients in the ward. And one doctor looking after the operation theater the whole time. Now that day, there was a 12-year-old boy who came for appendicectomy. So the doctor in the operation theater, now this is a 12-year-old boy, the only child for a couple. Now, the anesthetic medical officer gave this drug, and would you believe it, this child unfortunately happened to be that one in 100,000. The heart rate dropped, blood pressure dropped, patient died on the table. So she called me. So when we get in trouble, we call each other. She called me and I rushed down from the ICU. I came down and you can just see the heart rate coming down, you know. You're giving atropine, let the heart rate go up. No, it's just coming down. 100, 110, you give a bit of drug, it goes 110, and then it comes down again. 90, 80, you give a bit of drug, it goes up 100, comes down in 80, 70, 60, 0, and finally a flat line. One in 100,000. And you know what was the real tragedy? The mother was on the sixth floor, just having recovered from hysterectomy. Her uterus was removed. And this is the child, her only child, who is one in 100,000 who gets this anaphylactic reaction and just died. That night, we had to have 3 security guards to follow the father the whole time because father wanted to jump off the 7th floor. When Rachel, my wife, had to go through Caesar, in my mind, all that I was thinking is, would Rachel be a victim of this one in 100,000? And there's one part of my mind that is saying, look, it is one in 100,000, man. Then the other part of my mind, but that one can be Rachel? Fear gripped our hearts. We couldn't sleep for nights. Then one day, we didn't tell anyone that Rachel was pregnant. One day, a pastor walks up to Rachel. This pastor is a visiting pastor from Australia. We are having tea at a friend's house. This pastor walks up to Rachel and tells Rachel, you are pregnant. It's a girl who is going to give you so much of joy. Wow. Now, when I look back, why was that word given to Rachel and me? To help us overcome the fear. Okay, that's fine. By a loving God who understood our emotions. We have a God who has got enough love to let you and I overcome our fears, live a life of power, live a life of love, live a life with sound mind. Can we pray? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your love. It's such an amazing love. So full of grace. We don't deserve it, but Lord, you love us so much. And that perfect love, Lord, in spite of all our imperfectness, your perfect love with grace helps us to get rid of the spirit of fear. Holy Spirit, I pray each one of us here, physically and those online, today will experience that love, that perfect love of God. It is your desire, dear Lord, to share that love with each one of us, to get rid of the fears in our lives. You want us to lead and live a life of power. You want us to lead a life where, because of your blessings, we can share with others around us out of love, out of what you have blessed us with. You want us to have a life of sound mind, dear Lord. You want us to get rid of that spirit of fear. Thank you for your perfect love. Thank you for your amazing grace. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.